Pastors and churches, I've noticed, tend to ask a lot of their members. Do, give, join, register, attend, volunteer. Does that sound familiar? You know the list well. Congregations run on volunteers and participation, generosity, and prayers. But a pastor friend of mine that I had lunch with recently, he's the pastor at Peachtree Presbyterian Church, said, I've started to ask less, what do I want from the members of the church, and more, what do I want for the members of the church? It's a different twist, isn't it? Not from you, but for you. I took that question to our awesome church staff, and you won't be surprised, they had lots of great answers. I remember it like this, that they responded, well, we hope for the members and friends of the church experiences of God, knowledge of God's love for them. We hope for the members and friends of the church joy through helping others, help during hard times, support in daily living, experiences of forgiveness and new beginnings in life. We hope for our church members and friends memories made that last a lifetime, relationships with people of all ages and stages, and relationships with people who even vote differently than them. Deep friendships. We hope for the members of the church peace in their lives, purpose. How would you answer that question for you, for your family? What is it that you want for yourself or for others? I think in our passage this morning, Jesus gives us his answer. I want for you joy. My joy. Complete joy, says the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, said the apostle. Well, you and I know what complete means. It means full. It means total. It means absolute. That's the kind of joy Jesus wants us to have. His joy, which is total and final and full. But what does that word joy mean? I consulted the Harper's Bible Dictionary, which you can find in your own church library, thanks to some wonderful volunteers, Karen Moore, Eleanor Harps, who keep it organized and updated and accessible. That dictionary says, joy is an experience of God's exaltation, because all that God has done for us. We give thanks and exalt God because we know all that God has done for us. Joy, as Caitlin's psalm read this morning says, is not just contained within the human sphere, but belongs to all of nature, which exalts God and gives thanks. Christian joy, says that Bible dictionary, can be experienced when the chips are down and things are hard. Nothing can dampen the joy of the believer. Sometimes it means joy is not currently experienced, but there is a future hope that God will deliver, that God will bring us the victory and the better day. The earliest Christians, no surprise, said that full and complete joy is lodged in the person of Jesus. Think about it. Everywhere Jesus went, there was joy. When he was born, there was great joy. When he went through his ministry of teaching and healing in Galilee, great joy. Through his cross and resurrection, great joy. And as the church took that message and good news to all the world, it was received with joy. Jesus wants his joy to be in you, and he wants your joy to be complete. That doesn't mean you're going to always make straight A's or make your parents happy or win the game or make the big sale or have a big checking account or drive a new car or have faster internet. But it does mean that you always know, no matter the circumstances, God's ability and God's promise to save. Faith gives us what the world can never take away. faith, hope, and love in good times and bad times behind us, before us, and with us, trusting that joy shall be our inheritance because of God's promises and God's power. Today I'm not asking what does God want from you, but what does God want for you? What do you want for your kids? Jesus says, I want from you love, love of neighbor, but I want for you full and complete joy. Cigna did a study, you know, the health insurance provider, and they found out that young adults are lonelier than senior citizens. Young adults, classmates, groups, lots of connectivity. I know a lot of lonely seniors. But Cigna's finding that teens and young adults are most affected by the crisis of loneliness. Suicide's the second leading cause of people between the ages of 10 and 34. Study found that being lonely is not just hard on your emotions, your feelings, but it's bad for your physical health. Being lonely, the study says, is worse for your body than smoking or obesity. I'm not inviting you to do either. But that's the risk of loneliness. That's the hardship of it. The U.S. Surgeon General said loneliness increases your risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, depression, and anxiety. Forbes last year said that the number of Americans with no close friends has tripled since 1985. The number of Americans with no close friends has tripled since I was in college. By the way, that's just about the time computers started dominating our lives. Computers are a great tool, but I don't know that we've caught up with our social relationships because we've gotten so isolated. The U.S. isn't alone. Britain has a great loneliness problem. More than 9 million people in that country through surveys report to often or always feeling alone. It's such a crisis, do you know that Prime Minister Theresa May earlier this year appointed, I'm not kidding, a minister for loneliness, serving in the British Parliament cabinet. She said in her statement, far too many people are enduring loneliness as the sad reality of their modern lives. I have a friend who is a pastor in Canada, and that pastor wrote his dissertation on loneliness in the church in Canada. Well, during his ministry, let us be reminded, Jesus never traveled alone. He always traveled with companions. He traveled in community. He attended, says Mark, weekly Sabbath services at his home synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus knew that this faith thing is a team sport. It's not for lone rangers. His friends and his followers who accompanied him, he was getting ready to leave. And so what does he do but give them one another? Do you remember when he's on the cross in John's gospel, Jesus, the mother of Jesus, Mary, sees him dying. And he says, woman, and points to the beloved disciple John. Here is your son. John, here, Mary is your mother. And the passage says, and I quote, and from that hour the disciple took her into his home. Jesus gave them adopted family at his departure. Jesus' exit plan, if you will, is his abiding spirit through resurrection, his presence with us always, but every bit as importantly, the gift of one another. You won't be lonely, Jesus said. I'm leaving you, but my risen spirit is always with you. You won't be lonely, Jesus says, not if you love one another, not if you take one another in as adoptive family and friends. So I consulted Harper's Dictionary again on friendship, a relationship of mutual trust that enriches life. See, a rich life is a life of relationships and friends, a life of joy. Seminary professor Thomas Troeger writes in his commentary, the life of the faith community teaches us at a deeper and deeper level the meaning of joy and friendship. Now, You don't have to be a rocket scientist, I don't think. I said that once at a sermon, and someone said to me once, do you realize that person in the fourth pew, she really did work for NASA. She is a rocket scientist. Well, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to put a couple things together. What's church attendance done since about 1985? What's loneliness done? Come on. We got something the world needs. My daughter woke up once when she was 3 or 4 years old. We were drinking coffee and getting ready for church, and she wakes up. She has her jammies. I can tell this story because she's graduating from high school in a couple weeks and is going to leave us out of state, okay? Parents, raise your kids in church. They're going to be gone like this. You won't believe how fast. She's probably sucking her thumb. Probably has a blankie in her hand. She's in her jammies. What day is today, she says. And Heather says, today's Sunday. It's big church day, so you got to get dressed. Hooray, she says, running to her bedroom. I get to see my friends. What does Jesus want from us? That we love one another. What does Jesus want for us? To know we're his friends. To experience life joyfully, completely and full. Hallelujah. Amen.